When I started this message, I had to laugh this morning because as I was going through it, last night, I had to choose my words wisely. And the reason was, is because I have an Alexa, or some of you might have a Siri. And what they are voice assistants, and what they are, they're hooked up to like smart devices. In other words, I could tell my Alexa to turn on my porch light or turn off my porch light, okay? So I had to be careful when I was reading it because every time I'd say Alexa, it replied, you know. So this morning I had to, you know, say it very low and quiet. But the thing about these devices are that they occasionally make mistakes. Now, the first time I was introduced to one of these Alexas or Siris, I was in Tennessee visiting with my daughter and her husband. And we were all going to get ready to go to bed. We'd watched a movie and we were getting ready for bed. And Matthew said, Alexa, turn off the porch light. And it turned off the light. I'm going, huh? What? And, you know, it's new to me. And then he goes, Alexa, turn off the front room light. And it turned off the light. And he's got this grin on his face. And I knew something was coming up. And I go, and he goes, hey, Bonnie. He says, ask Alexa, who's the best son-in-law ever? And I go, okay. I mean, I knew the answer. I go, Alexa, who's the best son-in-law ever? And Alexa said, Matthew. So, of course, he had that programmed, and that's what they do. They program. But the thing is this, they do make mistakes. And so as I was going through searching some of the mistakes that some of these Alexas or Siris make, there's a few of them here. First off, this one, a six-year-old talked to her family's new device, Alexa device, and as she was talking to this new device, the six-year-old, she was talking to the device about cookies and about dollhouses. Well, a little while later, the mom got a little ping on her phone. And it was an email wanting her to confirm the delivery of 7 pounds of cookies and a $170 dollhouse. So, and I'm thinking, wow, you got to be really careful about, you know, what you do, especially when you got young kids. Well, then I found this other one. I'm thinking, how could this be possible? But I'm going to share it anyway. It talks about this parrot that lived in London, whose owner never bought anything online. But somehow, again, the email comes on the phone of this owner, of this parrot, and it says that he wants them to confirm the large package of golden gift boxes that have been ordered. And the only thing he could figure was that he must have been talking about it. The parrot picked up the word golden boxes, gift boxes, and apparently ordered them surely by accident. But again, you have to really choose your words and really watch what you say when you're around these Alexas or these Siris. Another one that I came across, it talked about the person telling the device to turn on the living room light, and the device replied, there is no pudding room. So you have to really choose what you say. When I listen to my Alexa, I'll say, Alexa, I want to listen to WBGL. Well, my L's must sound like O's because sometimes it'll turn a channel on, it's WBGO instead of L, and I end up listening to classical instrumental music. So I have to go, Alexa, stop, and then I will say it with the accent, the L, a little bit more. So, but the great thing, the reason why I give these examples is because our God is a God who definitely does not make mistakes. He doesn't misunderstand when we come to him with our prayer needs or with a desire that we have in our heart. God's never confused, and God knows our hearts better than we know ourselves. And that's a good thing. Because sometimes we pray things that we think we really, you know, God, it's a need. It's an absolute need. And yet God knows better than we do. You know, maybe it is a need, and maybe it's a need that you want right now, but God says in time. He's not maybe saying no, but he's saying not right now. So the great thing is even though we go to God with needs or desires, God, who doesn't misunderstand anything, and he knows us better than we know ourselves, he's going to answer those prayers as he sees fit. Amen? So the great thing is he sent the Holy Spirit to live and dwell within us. And he, because he lives and dwells within us, he can pray on our behalf. He intercedes for us. It says in Romans 8, 28, verses 28 and 29, in the New Living Translation, it says, "We know that God causes everything to work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son." In order for us to become like his son, there's going to be things that we think are important, and yet God wants to bring us to a better place. And if we get every one of our prayers answered, it might pull us away from the things that God has for us rather than draw us close. But then it goes on to say, "For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." You know, we say Jesus is our brother. Okay, so that's what he's saying here. So Paul is saying, when he talks about this in Romans chapter 8, that God's promise, he's going to see that those promises come to pass, that he will accomplish those good purposes. But the thing is, he wants to mature us. And sometimes when we pray for something, it might not bring us to a place where we can grow and mature. So God knows better than we do as far as when we have a need or have a desire, that sometimes God will work it out in a different way than we anticipated. Now, sometimes it's maybe our weakness. You know, even in our weakness, and when we don't know what we need in order to grow, we can't find the words. Like you were talking about Devin, it's hard for him to find the right words to get it from here out to here. And that's, we might not have the disability Devin does, but the thing is this, that we want to so much express how we feel or the desire that we have or the need that we have, but sometimes we can't find the right words. And so the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells within us can come up with the right words. He's the one that goes before the Father to the throne room, and he expresses what's really actually deep within our hearts. But not only that, he uses that and he applies it to what God's plan and God's purpose is. So the Spirit prays according to God's will for us. Sometimes when we can't find the right words, like I said, or we have a hard time expressing how we feel or the desire that we want to see, that Spirit understands and accomplishes. Then that prayer is you are able to have it be accomplished because the Holy Spirit says it in a way that will accomplish more, and you will grow more, you will mature more in the things of God. So I like one thing I came across that it talks about in Romans 8:26. It says, "We do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us." So we might say then that the Holy Spirit is our prayer partner. That, you know, he knows what's down in here. He knows what we need. And we might say, "Holy Spirit, I'm not sure how to say this. I'm not sure how to come to the Father with this prayer need," or with, you know, or better yet, I find myself through the week, like I was thinking of Ginger this week, and I wanted to pray for her, but I didn't know what to pray for. Or when I talked to Kelly this week, there's so many people that I talk to throughout the week that I really don't know what the prayer, you know, what the need is, but God does. So when I go, Lord, I'm not sure how to pray for this person, but Lord, you do. So I pray in the Spirit, asking the Lord to just, you know, give me direction on what, you know, where he wants me to go with this. And sometimes, like I said, to just pray in the Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, have your way in this situation. You know more than I do what's going on with this person. Meet that need and give them the desire of their heart. So, but the great thing is we're standing in the gap for that person. So here's another example that I want to share that really pretty much sums that up. It says, Brian, who was struggling, he's a father, he's working, remodeling their bathroom, and he kept doing this one thing, I don't know whether it was plumbing or what it was, but he just couldn't get it figured out. He tried it, and he attempted to fix it, and it didn't work, and he tried 3 or 4 times to try to fix it, and it wouldn't work. Well, his 4-year-old little son, JD, was standing there watching him. And he goes, Daddy, I wish I could help you. And Daddy was so frustrated. And he goes, you know, JD, would you just pray? Would you just pray? Well, here's JD, he's 4 years old. He doesn't know exactly what Dad needs, you know. So what did JD do? He goes, he prayed his usual nighttime prayer. And he said, Dear God, bless Dad, bless Mom, bless Sarah, and bless Julia. But you see, the Holy Spirit knew what was in that little boy's heart. It was so pure. It was a prayer to meet the need of his dad who was frustrated. The Holy Spirit dug down deep into that little boy's heart and knew exactly what the little boy wanted to say. And when the dad went to go back and work on that again, it worked. So we don't have to worry about coming up with the right words or having maybe the right direction with it. God sees what's in our hearts. And the thing is, often we are like JD, that little boy, and we don't know what to pray for, especially when it's somebody that we want to pray for. We're not sure how to pray for that individual. My grandson, who's, like I said, has got issues with substance abuse, and I pray for him, and I say, Lord, I'm not sure where he's at with everything right now. I haven't seen him for so long, but Lord, I know you're watching over him, and I know you're protecting him, and I know that you're bringing the right person across his path, and Lord, I'm just going to continue standing on what your word says, that if I stand in the gap for him, that you are going to bring him to come to know you. And, you know, you try to come up with the right words, but God knows my heart. And that's what, when we, sometimes we say, well, I'll pray for this person, and then you find yourself saying, I don't know what to pray for. And then before you know it, your mind skips off to something else, and you forget to pray for that person. But if God has brought somebody on your heart, and you don't know what to pray, say, Holy Spirit, you know the heart of this person that I'm thinking about. I ask that you go before God to the throne room of God, and that you meet that need, that you minister, send someone across his path to minister to this person. Because you've laid this person on my heart, Lord, I'm not quite sure what I'm supposed to say or how I'm supposed to pray for them. But the Holy Spirit, you do know. I ask you to intercede for this person that God lays on my heart. Because sometimes we don't know what to pray. Sometimes we think that our prayer is inadequate. It's not sufficient enough. But the great thing is the Holy Spirit turns those prayers that we think are inadequate, he turns them into meaningful requests. And when we have that faith to know that the Holy Spirit has got a work, he's doing a work in us, and that what the Holy Spirit has been, his part of his job is to go to the Father on our behalf, to intercede for us or for those that we're praying for. That's what he does. And you can bet your bottom dollar that he's going to do it, and he's going to be successful. He's going to hit the nail right on the head of whatever that prayer need should be. So that's when we receive God's best, when we allow the Holy Spirit to step in and go to the Father on our behalf. Just like little JD, he didn't know what to pray for. He didn't know what the Father needed. But he prayed because he prayed from his heart. And that's what we're to do. So when we pray, the Holy Spirit goes from to the deepest parts of our heart, to the deepest part of our being, and he brings it before the Father. Amen? So here's another example. I really love this story. It talks about this family who's gone to this restaurant, probably after church, and they were ordering their meal, and the waiter comes a few minutes later with their meal and puts it in front of them, and the father says to the waiter, he says, you know, before we eat, we always pray over our food, but, you know, we would like to pray for you too. Well, this kind of caught the waiter a little off guard because he's never probably ever had that happen to him before. And so they asked him what his name was. He said, my name is Alan. And of course, because they asked him this question, he had a mixture of surprise and yet he showed some anxiety. But then after a little bit of silence, Alan shared that he was sleeping on his friend's couch because he had no place else to sleep. Not only that, his car had just broke down. It wasn't working anymore. And he was flat broke. I mean, that father and this family, before they ate, they prayed for this young man. And that God would meet not only his needs, but that God would show his love and his compassion. This was something that this young waiter didn't expect. And sometimes that's what we need to do. We need to let someone know out of the clear blue sky that right now, I want to think about you. I want to pray for you. Because you think about it. Alan, the waiter, maybe he wasn't a Christian. Maybe he doesn't know God. Maybe he doesn't know Christ. So certainly if he doesn't know them, then he's not going to have any idea of how to pray or what to pray for. But through that, he not only saw the compassion of someone else that cared about them, but he was taught how to go before the Father and pray, not only just for himself, but for other people. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to step in and fill in the gaps and come up with the right needs, the right attitude, the right motivation, and go before the Father, those prayers get answered. So just like this answer, the family prayed for this person, the Holy Spirit does the same for us when he goes before the Father. He prays for us. In this moment, when we realize we are no match for the things that come at us in our lives. But when we have the Holy Spirit step in and pray for us, then we know that we are on the right track. Now, I want to give this as a visual, kind of, sort of. When you make a cake and you take one ingredient, each individual ingredient, and you were to take that ingredient and eat it, for example, flour. If you were to eat the flour by itself, it would taste what? Bitter. It would really not have any taste to it. And as you're trying to spit the rest of the flour out after tasting it, and there's this white powder coming out of your mouth. But the thing is, you experience the fact that it's bitter. How about an egg, a raw egg? That's part of the ingredients of a cake mix, right? Can you picture yourself taking a good, healthy bite of an egg yolk? Absolutely not. I mean, a cooked egg, a boiled egg, a fried egg, yes. But just a regular raw egg, I don't think any of us would enjoy that too much. How about a big, huge teaspoon full of vanilla extract by itself? That would make your teeth grit, wouldn't it? But when you put all of those ingredients together with a few other ingredients, you're going to end up with a sweet-tasting treat. But by itself, it doesn't taste good. So if we allow God, who sent the Holy Spirit to live and dwell within us, and we allow the Holy Spirit to be our prayer partner, and we use those ingredients, that's an ingredient that God has given us, allowed us to use, plus the ingredients of the promise of his word, his blessings, and his favor, what ends up being something that we're going through that's bitter will end up being better, because we've allowed the Holy Spirit to have his way and intercede for us and to fill in the gaps when we're not quite sure what to pray or how to pray. Amen? So there are so many things that are going on in this world. The economy is so up and down, like a roller coaster. And again, as Tim was talking about, when we talk about our children, our grandchildren, you know, are they going to come to know the Lord? Are they going to stay on that path if they do know the Lord? Are they going to stay on that path? There's so many, many uncertainties that are going on in this world right now. But according to Paul in Romans 8:28, we can absolutely be sure and certain of four things just from this one scripture, that we know God's work is ceaseless, that he's never going to get tired, that when you go to him with a need or a desire, he's not going to reply, "I'm sorry, I don't understand," or "I'm tired," or "I can't do it right now." You're never going to hear him say that. So his good works are ceaseless. Number two, that God's work is for our ultimate good. It might not be the time we want it. It might not be the way we want it. But in the end, ultimately, what God does for us is for our good. That's number two. Number three, God works for the good of those who love him. And I know every one of us in this room love the Father. And because of that, he has told us, he has promised us that he will work for our good. And fourth, God works in all things. Not some things, in all things. In all things. And we might say, well, I'm going through, you know, a rough time right now. Or I made some bad choices. We know, like I said, the earth is filled with brokenness. But even in the middle of all this brokenness, God has a plan for our lives. And even in our worst mistakes or our worst choices, God's plan is better. Even when we think the choice that we've made is the right choice and it ends up being the worst choice, we know that God will work it for his good. I love it. It says he can fit even foolish decisions that we have made into a good plan. Sometimes I've gone before the Lord and said, "Lord, I really messed it up this time. But I know that you can turn it around." But he's going to want to know, did you learn something? Did you learn something from that? Sometimes we go through these valleys because he wants to teach us something. And he wants us to draw closer to him, to trust him more. After all, think about this. God, who turned a crucifixion into the resurrection, something that the disciples, when they laid Jesus in the tomb, can you imagine what they must have felt like? I mean, so discouraged. And yet, little did they know that from that crucifixion there was going to be a resurrection. We have to realize that we are in the hands of a living and loving God. Amen? So let me ask you my last question before we go to prayer. Is Holy Spirit your prayer partner? Is Holy Spirit your prayer partner? And when you come to a point where when you're praying, you're not quite sure what to pray, say, "Holy Spirit, I need help. I need your help. Lead me and guide me." And then just get quiet. And the Lord will bring what he needs for you to pray about, for yourself or for someone else. Heavenly Father, we thank you that when we come to you in prayer, you look upon the heart You look upon the heart, and even when we don't quite know how or what to pray, you've given us the Holy Spirit to live and to dwell within us. And we thank you that he prays according to your will for us. Holy Spirit, who understands and accomplishes the plan and the purpose that you have for us, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.